Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, a horror movie podcast where we review horror movies in 30 minutes or less. Today's movie we're going to be talking about is Here for Blood. It can be seen exclusively on Screambox. It's directed by Daniel Torres, written by James Roberts, starring Sean Roberts as Tom McBannon. I don't know, maybe they're brothers or something. James Roberts, Sean Roberts, or maybe it's just coincidence.
Roberts is a common last name, so.
That's true. That is true. Maya, oh God, okay, I'm going to try to pronounce this name, but good Lord. Okay, Maya Misajelovich.
That surprisingly sounds probably like what it is.
Misajelovich, I'm going to go with that, because that really does look that. As Grace and Joelle Faro as Phoebe. The plot, IMDb, you got some explaining to do on the plot here.
Yeah, so I didn't read it until you pointed it out, and I was like, oh, that's wrong.
Yeah, it's very wrong. So, okay, here's IMDb's plot. Peaceful evening between bloody, violent chaos, masked intruders descend on Tom and Grace's home. The couple fights for their lives. I'm going to paint the picture here for you. So the main character is Tom. You know, he's the main lead, whatever. Grace is a little girl, 7 years old. So they basically are saying that Tom and Grace are a couple, which I think you need to fix that, IMDb, because some people are going to read that, like this guy, and go, ah, that doesn't sound right. That sounds a little weird. Don't think I'll watch that.
Too bad this wasn't Wikipedia and we could just edit it.
I know.
Oh, wait, can you?
Ooh, I don't know. Can you?
There's an edit button.
Oh, damn. You might want to update that. I already wrote one anyways. Maybe just copy pasta that.
Yeah, we might have to look into this.
Yeah, but all right, here's my fixed version. As a favor, a professional wrestler offers to take over his girlfriend's, Phoebe, babysitting gig so she can study for her exam. Little did he know that soon the babysitter, Tom, would be fighting off a gang of cult members looking for their next sacrifice, Grace. But before we get into it, Corey, last night I was looking in the mirror and you know what? My beard was looking gnarly. And I said to myself, I can't look like this. I gotta do something. So I decided to break out Beard Octane's beard wash and conditioner along with their beard oil. And dude, my beard looked amazing. I'm glad you turned me on to Beard Octane.
Yeah, of course. Like I said, I've been using their products for years and I can vouch for them. And whether you're pounding IPAs or chopping wood, you gotta look your best. Visit beardoctane.com and use the code 30screams10 at checkout for a 10% discount. It helps us, and like I said, the products are absolutely incredible. They're local, too. They're based out of Connecticut, so help them out and support small businesses. We're not just slinging beard grooming supplies. We've been using them for a while.
Yeah, we have. With that said, 30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, what did you think of Here for Blood?
So every month we get an email from Screambox like about new movies that are going to be added to the service. And this one came up, Here for Blood. And they were like, hey, you want an early copy of this? And we were like, hell yeah. I read the plot. Right away, I knew we were going to be all over this. It's about wrestling and fucking violence and like blood and gore. And just it's a slasher movie.
Yeah.
Absolutely love this movie. I can't remember the last time I had this much fun watching a movie.
Oh, yeah. It's absolutely fun. It's hitting all of our points here. So we love wrestling, right? We love gore, slashers, all that, cults, all about it, and also heavy metal. Fuck yeah, because you got Dee Snider in this movie as probably the weirdest role I've ever seen him in. Last time I saw Dee Snider in anything, he was Captain Howdy in Strangeland. Have you ever seen Strangeland?
Didn't we review it?
Mm-mm. No, that's Savage Land.
Oh, okay, maybe not. Yeah.
Strangeland.
Wait, no,
is...
I have. It was the one with the piercing stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
It doesn't hold up well, that's for sure, because of the technology aspect. It's so different now, obviously. Technology has advanced way more, whereas back then it was like all about chat rooms and the camera quality was shit and all that stuff. And they think they still had the dial-up sounds. So, doesn't hold up, but I thought he was a pretty cool killer in that movie. But you know what? It's funny. It's pretty much similar to that of Freddy Krueger, where the whole town lynched him, and then, you know, he died, came back, and now he's Captain Howdy again. That's not the movie we're talking about today. However, his role was a bit absurd. He was just a head.
So, I'm not going to lie. I remember reading that description about this movie, and Dee Snider was in it. I didn't know Dee Snider, who he played, until the credits rolled.
It was like the equivalent of the Venus Flytrap, whatever his name is, from Little Shop of Horror. You know, it's like, Henry Seymour.
Yeah, I thought I missed something.
No.
Because I was like, I did not see Dee Snider. And sure enough, all he did was voice a head.
Yep. Whatever. Hey, it's on the IMDb. So yep. I'll fucking take that gig. If I can get on IMDb just for being a head in a movie, cool. All right. I have to say two things. Fuck yeah. Just copy paste it over and over, whatever. Pin me, pay me.
When was the last time Dee Snider did anything relevant anyways? He needed a paycheck.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he might have his hands on all sorts of small barroom gig things.
Okay.
I don't know.
Good
like,
for
you
him.
Know, playing like Angel City Music Hall or something. Like a smaller venue. Like,
him and Corey Feldman are sharing stages
together
now. Oh, you
see me to it. Yes. Yeah, they're going on tour now. Corey Feldman's going on tour at Limp Bizkit, by the way.
I saw a funny TikTok of Corey Feldman and his band coming out on stage today. And it said he had his band literally like introduce him to the stage. They tried to get the crowd to start a chant. It was the Return of the King.
Oh,
and then the crowd wouldn't chant, and you could tell that the band was clearly embarrassed. And then Corey Feldman came out and started singing, and he forgot the words, and he told his band to restart the song.
Oh my God, that's a bit much. That's overkill.
I really wish I went and saw him in Angel City, but I don't want to give that man a penny.
Why?
Because, like, what has he done besides play the Goonies? And, like, a couple other minor roles, but, like, what business does he have in music?
He doesn't. I think he's just super big on friggin' Michael Jackson, right?
Yeah, he is.
He's massive on Michael Jackson.
Was massive on him.
Oh, God. That's what we hear. That's the rumor, is that, you know, there was some fuckery going on there. But he did all sorts of dance moves on stage, whatever. Did you see that show that he was on? It was like one of those Good Morning America type shows, and they had Corey Feldman and the Angels, and he was doing all this weird dancing shit, and it was like, I don't know, dubstep stuff. I'll have to show you because it's fucking absurd.
Oh, he did, okay, Stand By Me and The Goonies and The Lost Boys were pretty much his biggest roles.
Yeah, exactly. And then he did like, what, Lost Boys 2, Lost Boys 3, Lost Boys 4.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
He was a voice in that, right? So, yeah, we went way off topic here.
And we've been talking about fine. Corey Feldman for 20 minutes.
That's fine because I didn't even hit the timer anyways.
Oh, great.
Now it's 30 Screams or Less starts now.
Okay.
So Dee Snider, he's a talking head and this has two things. Actually, he might have said three things, but that's about it. We see immediately, you know, wrestling's going on. This is the main character. The dude is jacked to fucking shit. He is massive.
So the middle of the movie, I was like trying to compare him to someone, and maybe it's the middle of the movie, I figured it out. He was a cross of Roddy Piper and Brian Cage.
Yeah, I could see that. Absolutely.
Like, roided out and the attitude of Roddy Piper.
Yeah. I would say he's almost as big as Cage, right? Nick Cage? No, we're getting wrong.
Wrong Cage.
Nick Gage, different wrestler. I'm getting my wrestling mixed up, man. Brian Cage.
Gage and Brian Cage are very different.
Yeah, one's a G, one's a C. Got it.
Brian Cage versus Christian Cage in a cage.
Oh, God, can you imagine? Just all battle for the ages.
With Nick Gage?
Yep.
As a special guest referee?
Exactly. Just all the Gages. Yeah,
with
Nicolas Cage.
With Nicolas Cage as Brian Cage's manager?
Yep. Just all the Cages and Gages. Cage. Gage. In a cage.
That would be a great billboard.
Oh, man. Sells itself.
Tony Khan is missing out on money here.
He just needs to listen. And he'd be like, I like that idea. And then next week on Impact, I almost said.
You did.
I almost said Impact because I'm like, I don't know. I always like to say, what's so-and-so doing in the Impact Zone?
Nick Gage in the Impact Zone?
Nick Gage is in the Impact Zone. Okay. So, yeah, this guy's massive. He looked familiar to me. I couldn't figure out where the hell he was from, but turns out he was in the Resident Evil movies. He played Wesker.
Oh, shit. He's just
did you know that?
No, I didn't, because he's like he's like four sizes bigger than he was in Resident Evil now, so.
Yeah, I noticed. He didn't look that ginormous in Resident Evil, so I couldn't place him. I was just like, is this guy new? I don't think I've ever seen this guy. And probably because as Wesker, you have your, you know, the glasses on the whole time. You wear like all black, things like that. So you can't really tell it's him. I mean, all you can really see is like mouth, forehead, right? And hair. So yep. I couldn't really tell it was him. So I'm just questioning the whole time. Like, I've never seen this guy before. Clearly I have, because I've seen all the Resident Evil movies. Are they all good? No. First one's okay.
I don't think I watched all of them because, yeah, like, was it after the third one, they started getting bad?
Yeah, they're jumping the shark a little bit. It started going a little apocalyptic. Well, it was always apocalyptic anyways, right? Yeah, so first one was good. It was fun, but it was, like, references to Resident Evil as opposed to it being kind of a, like, retelling, you know?
Yeah, side note, they did, when I was on our cruise last week, we went to movie trivia one night. And what they did was they named like an actor and actress. They named three movies that they were in, and you had to guess who the actress was or actor was. One of them was Mila Jovovich, and because they said like she had orange hair and she killed like undead people. I can't remember what the third one was, but I knew immediately that it was Mila.
Yeah.
And I think we were one of the few in the room that actually got that question right.
Oh, because Fifth Element and Resident Evil.
Exactly.
Yeah. So like she's been in all sorts of things, but I just can't think of anything off the top of my head, you know, because I always know her from Fifth Element and Resident Evil, but she's been in other shit. I probably just haven't seen it.
Yeah. So whatever. Back to the movie. Did you think like right off the bat, it just felt like we were watching Scream?
Yeah, I can see that.
You have the woman walking into her house from, I think she was jogging. Is that what it was?
Yeah, she was jogging. And
so
like,
she was jogging and she goes in the house and she goes upstairs to like take a shower. And then Sting appears.
Stang. We're calling him Stang because he's like a dollar store Sting.
Like, why is this guy wearing a Sting mask? He's literally like NWO Sting. He has long hair. He has a very, very similar mask to what Sting had his face paint as.
Yeah.
And he has a leather jacket on that's completely unbuttoned and no shirt underneath. And he's also ripped.
Yeah, they are all fucking ripped. Everyone in this movie other than like the parents are like fucking ripped.
Yeah, everyone lives at fucking Planet Fitness in this movie.
Exactly. They're ginormous. Okay, so here's what I was kind of thinking. This is why I was questioning, you know, the main character, Tom, right? I was thinking like, is this guy new? I don't know if they got him from like a fucking Planet Fitness or something and they just needed someone big to be in this role to look like a wrestler. But like I said, turns out he's actually been in a lot of movies. But I'm looking at all these other guys, and I'm thinking, like, this is before I knew that he was in the Resident Evil movies. I'm thinking to myself, did they just hire a bunch of wrestlers, like, independent wrestlers that I don't know about, and throw them in this movie? Because if that's the case, all right, cool.
What do they call them? Enhancement talent?
Enhancement talent.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're enhancement talent when you're, like, that fucking ginormous.
Yeah.
Like, when I think enhancement talent, I think, like, Barry Horowitz. Your Brooklyn Brawlers, things like that.
Your Isaac Yankums?
Yeah, your DDSs.
Oh, yeah, Dr. Isaac Yankum.
Yep, exactly. You know, they don't really have that kind of enhancement talent anymore. It's just like whoever's in the roster doing the job. Unless they're trying to do a 2-on-1 squash match, then they hire some local, you know, jabronis.
Yeah, that's exactly it. They'll do like, they'll be on the road, like on a tour or whatever, and they'll call in a bunch of local jabronis and fucking Brian Cage will squash them.
Exactly. Yeah. Nick Gage. They marry, have kids. Fucking jacked
Brian
as fuck
Cage
with weird ass teeth.
Cage got married?
No, I'm just saying, like, they have kids jacked as fuck with weird ass teeth.
Well, the weird ass teeth is from years of
meth.
What do they call that? Recreational drug use.
Recreational drug use. Yeah.
Yeah. He was doing it for fun.
Good for him. He's just like, yeah, fuck it. I do it for fun. Whatever. He's a maniac, that one.
Oh, I know.
I don't want to talk any more about
him
because I'm afraid of him.
I met him. He's actually really nice.
I'm sure he is. It seems like he's nice, but then when it's time for business, it's fucking time for work.
He plays a character.
Yeah, that's exactly it. He's a professional.
He's a real-life bank robber who plays a character in a wrestling ring.
Yeah, he's a professional. Even though it's deathmatch wrestling and stuff, and a lot of people see it as fucking whatever, right? He's clearly a professional about it. Mm-hmm. He has fun. He does his like shit, whatever, with his friends, but he's hard as fuck, that one.
The first time during this movie where I knew it was going to be fun, we're literally still at the beginning of the movie talking, yeah. by the way, when he goes over to Grace's house because he's babysitting because Tom's girlfriend has to do homework and asks Tom to go and babysit this little girl so she can focus on her homework. Anyways, he's at the little girl's house, Grace's house, and they order pizza and the pizza delivery guy gets to the house and the pizza delivery guy knows who Tom is. He's like, well, you're a famous wrestler. Can I get a picture or an autograph?
Yeah.
And Tom looks at him and he goes, you got $5? I was like, this man's a fucking carny. This movie rules.
Yeah. Oh, it's like every wrestler out there, man. We've been to these things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been to these conventions where you're meeting all these wrestlers and you have to pay them for a photo, whatever. $20, $10, maybe $5 for Virgil, whoever. I've spent plenty of money on photos with wrestlers, especially Bret Hart, but that was worth it. So
I paid less to meet Samoa Joe than I did to meet Alex Vincent.
Oh my God.
Dude, so before Samoa Joe got signed to the WWE, I think you were there. We went to that show in Lowell at the Spinners Park.
Yeah.
He was charging $5, Samoa Joe.
You can't even go to Wendy's with $5 anymore and like get a meal.
No. Yeah. One of the greatest wrestlers in the world was charging $5 for meet and greet. That was right after Rey Mysterio killed a guy because he was there too and nobody was in his line because no one wanted to shake his hand in case, you know, bad juju, they didn't want to die.
Yeah, come on. That's so absurd. We can't shake your hand. You killed a man in the ring. So did fucking Great Khali, but also it probably dropped the guy fucking 9 feet onto his head.
Yeah, and that's just from Great Khali standing straight up.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking crazy.
The Punjabi prison.
Yeah. So
I love this episode because we get to talk about wrestling.
Yeah. And so there's the Shining Wizards Network. They're just like, fuck yeah. They're going to talk horror and a shit ton of wrestling on this one.
Right. Yeah. They don't know we're doing this one yet. I didn't tell them. So
no, they don't. So, you know, it kind of brings me back to when I went to one of those wrestling conventions and I talk about this story because it was so fucking absurd. It was unbelievably ridiculous, Corey. I was at this convention and all these wrestlers there were like my dad, my brother and I, we met Bret Hart. It was the weekend of WrestleMania in Philadelphia. No, correction, New Jersey.
Right? Yeah, it was WrestleCon. I was there.
Okay, yeah, WrestleCon. So I took a wide photo of the room, right? I wasn't even getting anyone in the shot. You couldn't make out anyone, any wrestlers. And stand in the corner, whatever. All of a sudden, this guy comes up to me, fucking jacked as shit. And he's like, give me the photo. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, you took a photo of Marlena. For those of you who don't know Marlena, Marlena was Goldust's valet, right?
Yeah.
And her bodyguard came up to me demanding money because I took a photo of her. He's demanding like $20. I'm like, I'm not giving you any money. I didn't even take a photo of her. He's like, yeah, you did. Show me the photo.
I forgot that she was Marlena because she's also Terry Runnels.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, a lot of people, I think, know her as Marlena. So yeah, that's why right. I went Marlena. But Terry Runnels.
Iron Sheik rolled over my foot in his wheelchair at that show.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome. And yeah. I pissed next to the Million Dollar Man. Took a piss right next to him.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Did he look at your dick?
He looked at mine and he was like, bro, everybody's got a price.
And your price is to go to the hospital and get it fixed. Oh, God. So, yeah, that was a negative with that whole weekend because I had to deal with some roided out guy.
Iron
but
Sheik
everything was, else was great.
Speaking of roided out guys, Iron Sheik was getting pushed around by a dude that looked like Batista.
Not surprised.
And it wasn't Batista. It was just his doppelganger.
Oh,
maybe it was Batista.
Mason Ryan?
Maybe. Maybe. Was he his? Mason Ryan wasn't. He was an Australian guy, right?
Yeah, but he's doing Circus Olay now.
Are you kidding me?
I'm dead ass serious.
Okay.
Yeah, I read articles on the internet, and I was like, "Whoa, okay, that's what he's up to. Interesting, cool." So, all right, we have barely even touched the surface of this movie because of like the amount of wrestling involved in it. So, yeah, we're at the house. Tom's hanging out, takes the photo with the pizza guy. Next thing we see, you know, Tom closes the door. Pizza guy gets his throat cut within, like, 30 seconds. So we already know shit's going to hit the fan.
So at one point when Tom went upstairs and Grace was playing video games in her room, they all heard the creaking from the attic.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get the vibe that there was going to be more than one killer after? Because Tom went down to answer the door when the pizza got there. And then the pizza guy saw that guy at the end of the road. I was like, holy shit, there's more than one killer.
I didn't know that at first. I'm thinking it was just one killer the whole time, which, okay, that's fine. But then when they opened the attic, one came down, and then I saw another. I'm like, oh, shit, there's two killers. I didn't realize it was going to escalate to, like, basically a cult. So we're talking, like, five or six killers that he's taking on. So,
I didn't either, but I also got the vibe here that, like, once we do find out that there were people in the attic, I got the vibe that the parents were involved, which we later find out that they were, which we'll get to, but...
Yeah, we'll get to it.
It was kind of, I don't know, that part of it was kind of predictable to me, but yeah.
It didn't even dawn on me that there were this many killers in this movie, because I was just thinking, like, maybe it was a local cult, they needed to get their sacrifices in, all that stuff, right? So I was just thinking that, actually, at first I was just thinking maybe it was just some rogue killer who went around, did his shit, whatever. And then we hear the killer get a call, like, oh, it's time, you need to get to work, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, okay, now we have two people. Or the killer is, maybe that's his alter ego talking to him to go kill. Could have been that. But then we start seeing, okay, there's actually two people in the house, and they didn't match what Stang looked like. So now I'm like, okay, there must be three killers in this. And then we start tacking on more and more, and it turns out there was like six of them in total, six or seven of them. But Tom went off on all of them.
Yeah, he did. I loved it so much. Like, the first guy, this poor guy, I don't even know what his name was. The one that's basically Marv from Home Alone. He's just getting fucked constantly.
Yep. He had the scream. The scream was great.
Yeah. And so he basically gets in a fight with Tom, and Tom's in the kitchen with him. And this scene was so long of Tom holding this dude's face to the burner on an electric stove.
Oh, man. And you see, like, the fucking the grates in the face. Oh, it was, like, awful. Because, yes, he would just hold it there, and he just kept holding it there. And so I'm a fan of slapstick comedy when you continue to do something over and over. Like, if you carry out something a little bit longer than you should, sometimes it's funny. Like, for instance, Family Guy, when Peter hurts his knee.
Right, oh, he said, ow.
Yeah, it just goes, it just does that for minutes, right?
They added that to Fortnite, and it's so fucking funny.
What the... that.
Yeah, you kill him because he's one of the bosses right now, and he just does that. He just falls on the ground and holds his knee and does that over and over again.
I love it. It makes me laugh every single time. It's so dumb. But sometimes when you do that in movies or comedy or whatever, it's hilarious. But then, so he did the face, and then there was something else that happened to the guy too. But Tom annihilated this guy. I think he hit him with a frying pan, and then he burnt his face. And then, like, later on, he cut off his fingers. It was just like a fucking one thing after another with this fucking guy. We're going to just call him Marv.
Yeah, later on, he just, what was it, an axe, and he gets all of his fingers chopped off?
Yep, exactly. Got all of his fingers chopped off, and then fucking, we'll call him Marv again. Marv decides to go into the house, put his hand on the burning stove that his face was just melted on, basically, to cauterize the wounds, and of course, like, just in epic fashion, screaming, then falls back on the ground. That guy got fucking annihilated, and
his name was Bernie in the movie. Bernie was the MVP.
Bernie was the MVP of this movie. He was the comedic aspect, the guy who was just there. He wanted to be a part of it, but couldn't hack it, just constantly failing. But he was still there, and he survived at the end.
Yeah, and every single time you see him, he gets his ass kicked in some way.
Every single time, without fail. Fucked up every single time. It's so funny. But a lot of the moves that Tom was doing was wrestling-based. So, you know, we'd have body slams and clotheslines and, you know, and things like that. Oh, this part was great. The Macho Man Randy Savage amount of elbow drops onto that girl's boyfriend.
Yeah, and he's just, I love it because it's happening in the background of this scene. He's just elbow dropping this dude all, like, repeatedly. And was it Phoebe was in the front of the scene? Was it talking to Grace in the kitchen?
Here's what it was. So it was her friend got her throat bit by who is now a zombie boyfriend. So
Chris, she's a fucking idiot. She deserved that.
Yeah, she did. Yep. So Tom just knocks this guy down, and he is continuously giving an elbow drop to this guy's head, and his, like, brain is splattering all over the place, blood everywhere. And then the parents come in, and they're like, what the hell is going on here? You know, that type deal. And Tom's like, we have a situation. It's like, people are breaking in, blah, 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 all that
stuff. We have a situation. We are under attack by a gang of sex perverts. When he said that, I spit out my drink.
That was funny. That was very funny. So,
and then at the end, they find out who it is, and he was just like, all right, they're not sex perverts.
Nope, just the parents. The parents pulled this shit off the whole time. So Tom goes up to the attic to show the father that there's a head up there and some cult-looking shit. So basically, these people have been planning this whole thing. They've been in the house, and the father ends up stabbing Tom. And I'm like, okay, here's the double cross, the twist, if you will. And I'm like, okay, whatever. And then Stang comes in with his giant codpiece. The fucking thing is massive, and it's got, like, spikes on it. I'm like, this is fucking ridiculous. This whole movie is absolutely absurd. But him and Tom, they start getting into it. Grace stabs Stang. Tom beats the shit out of him, kills him, and then just continues on to fucking beat the other guys up. Oh, by the way, I didn't even talk about one of these cult members had such a cool mask. It was upside down.
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing was really cool looking. And yes, it did have Scream vibes with that.
Yeah, it was basically like an upside down Scream mask, but they modified the mouth a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was very cool. So with it being upside down, when he was like on top of the bed and he was looking down at Grace underneath the bed, it looked like it was right side up or something. It was very odd. So I thought it was cool looking.
Yeah, definitely a really cool mask. The best mask in the movie.
I would say so. Yeah, definitely the best mask in the movie. Okay, so at this point, Tom is trying to go get Phoebe because the parents took Phoebe to the barn, and this is some weird culty shit happening. Apparently, there's like these ancient ones or whatever that they have to keep sacrificing people to in order to save the world, because if they don't, they're going to come out, raise hell, everyone's going to die, all this stuff. So now it's this whole Tom needs to save the world type deal. So he gets in this fight with Corey, this is what I was talking about, is this guy is fucking ginormous.
Yeah, he was like a Viking, basically.
Yeah, you know who he looked like? One of the Pitbull. Remember from ECW?
Yeah, the tag team, right?
Yeah, like Pitbull number two.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like where he's like bald and jacked as shit. Kind of looked like that.
I wonder, that'd be hilarious if it was.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think he's probably a little too old for that. But he was jacked as shit.
Oh, is it? So I'm looking at the IMDb. His name was Marc-Andre Belanger. The character's name was Meat.
That makes sense.
And he was just in Bad Santa 2.
Oh, no shit. Okay. So they all had like some modest roles.
Yeah, we'll call it that.
Was it Goon number 2?
Goon?
I'm just saying, like, what
the
was his
Sean
role
Williams
in that?
Scott movie?
No. Oh. No, I'm saying, what was his, like, role in that movie? You know how they say Goon number 3 or whatever?
So it's actually kind of close.
Hospital patient number 10?
Tattooed jail dude.
Okay. All right. I was tattooed jail dude.
Yeah.
I'm an actor.
You couldn't even have given him a name. They're assholes.
Fucking too much to remember. Okay, tattooed jail guy dude. Yeah, your turn.
Tattooed jail guy. It's your scene. Get on set.
Yeah. Do some jelly shit. Cool. Sold. Done. All right, next.
Awful. I hate it.
You know what?
There's a character in this called Spinhead.
Spinhead. Maybe that's the one with the upside down ghost face looking mask.
Okay, that makes sense. Slackjaw, Loverboy, Meat, Jackal.
Oh, Jackal must have been the one where it was like they were kind of almost like crawling around and really weird. And Tom fucking
Dude,
beat the shit out of that one too.
He reminded me of Junkrat from Overwatch.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
And then Grace, this is when I decided Grace was actually my favorite character of the movie because, no, it wasn't Grace. It was Phoebe who went to town on this thing's head with a meat cleaver.
Mm-hmm. And just over and over and over.
It was like it was legitimately like a 10-minute scene of Phoebe just hitting this dude in the head with a cleaver.
Yeah, and it was kind of like the same deal with Tom where he was doing like the 20 elbow drops to the guy's head. It's like repetition sometimes is funny.
Overkill, massive overkill. The dude is probably exactly dead after the first one.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Overkill. Overkill sometimes is awesome.
Yeah, especially in a comedy horror because it's just, it fit the vibe so well. Like all the over the top shit they did in this movie, all the shit that Tom says. Like the scene when Tom gives Grace the keys to the car and he looks at her and he goes, "Stupid question, have you ever driven before?" She's fucking 7 years old.
Of course not. She's like, "Well, my daddy and whatever showed me how to drive." Okay. I mean, I think we've all like had an opportunity to do something like that, or a lot of us had.
So like right at this scene though, like as this fight's happening, which, like you said, it was a great fight between Meat and Tom. It's like a WrestleMania match. It was like two big men and the way they shot the cameras, the angles and whatnot.
Yeah, it was like Vince McMahon's dream match, right?
Yeah,
there.
And then, whoa. We don't speak of him.
We don't speak of him?
No, he's canceled.
Oh, yes, that's right. He is quite canceled.
Anyways, I'm kidding, though. Don't edit that out.
I won't. No,
so this fight's happening, and then Grace shows up with the car, and she fucking runs this dude over. So they finally get Meat on the ground, and then they attach, like, a hook to his neck. The best beheading scene I've seen in my entire life. I love a good beheading, and this actually took the cake.
Yeah, his head got pulled straight off from a hook. The rest of his body was just simply too heavy for his head. So it was probably like, nope, I'm staying down here. Head, you can go.
And again, this was one of those scenes which was very long. It was just a zoomed in camera angle of this dude just having a hook jammed in the side of his head. Clearly in agony. He's just screaming. And you have Tom, Grace, and Phoebe pulling on this other side of the chain.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to literally pull this dude's head off. And eventually they do. It was amazing.
It was great. Yeah, and then you have, like, the dad. The dad's dead at this point. The dad was thrown into the door where all the gods are, right? And got sacrificed. And at this point, it's just, like, the mother. Grace is there. Phoebe's there. Tom is there. And Meat, who they just, you know, decapitated in epic fashion. And pretty much, you know what? This is what I was wondering, though, about. Because now we're at the end of the movie. So just to kind of sum it up, this movie is, it's nuts. There's a lot of slapstick comedy and horror and slashing and blood and guts and everything. It's great. So what I didn't get, though, is like, clearly the mother's bad. She's a bad person. She tried killing her kid. You know, she poisoned cookies in hopes that it would kill her daughter and then she could be sacrificed. But they all left together. I'm assuming that they were going to take her to the police station, but I can only imagine what would happen to Grace. Did Tom and Phoebe adopt her? Who knows?
Yeah, but it's not like they, like, tied her up or handcuffed or anything. She just casually got into the back of a car.
Yeah.
And they drove away.
Exactly. It was odd. And then our dude Marv. No, wait. His name's Barry, right? Bernie.
Bernie, Barry, Marv, Harry.
All of them. Bernie. It's Bernie. I remember now. Our dude Bernie shows up. He's got Dee Snider's head, and Dee Snider obviously still saying, feed me. And it's just Bernie left over with the head. So is there going to be a sequel? Who knows?
Kind of left open that way, and I hope there is.
Yeah. Back again for blood, maybe.
Well, if they actually listen to this, they're going to take that title and not give us any credit for it. So thanks, Steve.
You're welcome. You know, that's what you do. You don't do, like, Back for Blood 2. You add words in now. I don't know. I feel like I've noticed this lately where they're not doing, like, numbers for movies, right? Let's say Twister, right? You remember Twister back in the day?
Oh, yeah. Now it's Twisters.
With an S.
Deadpool 3. They're doing the same thing.
What, doing Deadpools?
No, it's Deadpool and Wolverine.
Exactly. So that's what they're doing now is they're not, like, saying
it's
Deadpool.
Not a numerical number. It's not. Yeah, when you make a sequel, they're not doing a numerical anymore.
Exactly.
They just do like a subtitle or a additional like title or whatever.
Right. And you know what kind of reminds me? Scream 5. They just called it Scream, didn't they? They didn't call it Scream 5, but we knew it was Scream 5.
No, it was Scream 5 because I remember seeing the poster. Like one of the letters was a V.
Oh, okay. So that's what it was. It was like, it was called Scream, but in the logo, it was like, there was a 4 in there.
The M had like a emphasized V shape in it.
That's right. Yeah. So, not 4, a V. So it was like Scream, but they were emphasizing a V in the name. So they were just calling it Scream, but we all knew it was Scream 5.
Let's stop talking about Scream because it's going to make me depressed that we're never going to get another one.
I think we will. There's always a way. There's always a way.
I hope we don't because I don't want to see another Scream movie with the characters that they built this story on for the past, 4 and 5?
Yep.
Those characters aren't going to be in the 6th one.
No, they won't. That's unfortunate. I don't know. Bring Stu back.
They should have done that a while ago.
They should have did it in the last one.
Should have fucking made him and Sydney the killers.
Yeah, the whole time. You know what? I want Sydney to be the final Ghostface.
You know what they should do? Because Melissa Barrera and Jenna Ortega aren't in the movies anymore, they should fucking give the money they saved off of those two and give it to Neve Campbell.
Yes.
Just so we get a final one with her as the killer.
Fuck yeah. And then just end it. That would be the ultimate, like, what the fuck? You just undid the whole entire franchise.
So Miramax, if you're listening to this, take our advice and do that.
Miramax, that one's free. You can have that.
Yeah.
Back again for blood. I want a few bucks for that.
No, no, no. They don't even need to pay us.
No. You know what? Just mention us. Like, in the movie, have, like, a Tom on a podcast or something, and it'd be, like, 30 size or less or something stupid.
Or better yet, have Miramax give us Nev Campbell for an episode so we can interview her.
There we go. I like that.
That's all we want.
That's it. That's all we want. And then she'll play off like she's the damsel in distress, all that type deal, like she did in all the Scream movies. She'll play that role with us. And then we'll just know. We'll know that she's Ghostface the whole time.
Actually, you know what? It's going to take more than that, Miramax. We want Courtney Cox, too, at the same. We want both of them at the same time for a joint interview.
That'd be insane.
David Arquette, too. Fuck it. Even though you killed him for no reason.
We don't know that. There was no funeral.
All right, fine. He just got stabbed in a hospital and we watched him die and bleed out. That's fine.
Yeah, he went into witness protection.
Oh, okay. That's movie, movie magic within a movie.
movie magic in a movie. Exactly. You know, go into witness protection, faked his own death. That way he can protect Sydney from afar. Just like that. I just rewrote Scream for you. You're welcome. And get them all back.
I don't know. I think we're doomed. The Scream franchise. So? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think we're in trouble.
So, hey, did you see Skeet Ulrich has a new show?
I didn't. He's a nice guy, by the way. I met him. He's a good dude.
It's with that guy from This Is Us.
Oh, okay.
You know that show?
Yeah. I've never watched This Is Us, but have you watched it?
Oh, yeah. It's great. I love This Is Us.
Oh, okay, then.
I'll admit it. I don't give a shit.
I know you don't give a shit. Did you watch it on your own accord, or were you sucked in from Joanne?
By the way, I made that up. He's not actually in it. I should have checked his IMDb before I said that. Oh, I thought I saw him in the trailer. But no, Joanne and I watch it together. This Is Us is great. I don't give a fuck. All 37 seasons of it.
Oh, okay. 37? Good fucking Lord.
Not really.
There was this feels like a long show.
I don't remember how many seasons it was, actually. Hey, did you know that we were talking about a movie originally? I think
we've been
ranting for like 20 minutes on something else.
Yeah.
For a movie we loved so much, we talk about a lot of shit not related to this movie.
Yeah, you know what? I think I just don't want to give away a lot of the movie because it's that damn entertaining.
Yeah, it was a fantastic, like, it had everything. Yeah, if you love wrestling and you love horror, like, watch this shit. If you don't love those things, just watch it anyway. It's great.
It's entertaining. It's campy. It's cheesy. It's well shot. The gore is great looking. Oh, God. There was one part, Corey, where it was so over the top. And this is actually going back to Overkill again, right? Where they cut off one of the cult members' heads. And it was just squirting blood everywhere, all over Phoebe. And then it stopped. And then it started back up again, squirting all over her again. It was so absurd.
It's like half the budget went to the blood for that scene.
Mm-hmm. It was ridiculous. It was everywhere. There was no need for it to be that bloody, but it just kept going and going. It was great. So, Corey, what do you give it?
This is 5 out of 5 dead kids for me. Again, another 5 out of 5. This might be the best low-budget film that I've honestly ever watched. It had wrestling, gore, comedy. A few of my favorite things ever. I know you love those things, too.
Yeah.
Definitely inspired, I think, by the original Evil Dead. And it had a lot of original parts. And definitely the most fun I've had watching a movie in a long time. Like, bravo, Screambox. Bravo, whoever made this movie. It actually came out in 2022, but I don't know if they just couldn't get anyone to show it.
Yeah, because
it just came out on, what, last week on streaming, I think?
Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, 5 out of 5. I feel the same way. I honestly can't think of anything bad about this movie. Wrestling, gore, heavy metal, cults, horror, comedy. I mean, like I said, it checked all the boxes. It was a fun slasher comedy, entertaining all the way through. I was initially going to go with a 4 out of 5. It's because we've just been handing out 5 out of 5s like candy lately.
You're right, but like if it's a 5 out of 5, I'm not going to skimp on the rating just because we've been giving out a lot. We got to watch a shitty movie.
Yes, please. But the movies that we have planned, they actually look decent. So we're like, all right, maybe we need to watch something that's actual dog shit.
And send us your worst recommendations.
Yes, fucking send us your worst. We want to watch them and we want to review them because we need a palate cleanse. Been watching too many good movies. We need to you need to watch something bad to really truly appreciate the good.
Yeah, exactly.
So, send us something absolute dog shit. It's been a while, so I can't think of anything bad about this movie. So 5 out of 5 for me, too. I thought it was great. But let's think of something that's truly dog shit. See if we can find anything because, yeah, we need a palate cleanse.
Well, that's the thing. We're watching movies we've never seen before, so we don't know if it's shitty. That's why we need recommendations. We want a shitty movie. Tell us a fucking terrible movie.
Please tell us about the fucking worst movie you've seen as of late and let us know because we want to watch it and we want to review something horrible.
Yeah, and not Smile because I don't want to watch that again.
No, and I didn't hate Smile. It was just whatever.
They're making a sequel, so.
I won. Yeah. Smile again.
Smile part two.
Part two. So, yeah, give us your worst. We want to see it. I want to be able to rate a movie a negative 10 out of 5. That's what I want.
10 out of 5? Negative 10 negative. Out of 5?
That's what I want.
Whoa. Okay.
Give me
you
the
should
worst.
Watch Skinamarink then.
Oh, God. Yeah, I watched it once.
Oh.
And I think I just wasn't in the mood for it because it was like late at night and I'm sitting there. I'm like, fucking cross-eyed tired watching it and it's just I don't know hour and 20 minutes of silent film
of a fucking kid's telephone. I'd never want to watch that movie again. I'm not.
Yeah,
if you want to review that, you're on your own.
No, I'm good. I watched it and I was like, I'm bored as fuck right now.
Yeah,
and I almost turned it off. But at that point I was like committed.
People loved it too.
So a bunch of kids in a house with no windows, that's they're just like they wake up, their parents are gone.
Yeah, it's like Home Alone in the dark.
Yep, so that's what that was. And it was, I don't know, it just felt like some sort of art project deal where it's like, I want to be fancy and have, like, just weird camera angles and no audio and nothing. It's like an art school project.
Trash.
I don't know. I don't like it. I just didn't like it. I didn't get it.
It stinks.
It stinks. All right, everyone, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and YouTube. Leave us a 5-star review on all podcast platforms so we can get some more exposure. Of course, tell your friends. Both our intro and outro music are courtesy of Andrew Scott Bell. Be sure to check out Andrew on all major streaming platforms. And if you see Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey on vinyl in the wild, be sure to pick it up. We're also part of the Shining Wizards Network. Be sure to visit shiningwizardsnetwork.com. They're an awesome podcast network ranging from wrestling to heavy metal, horror, all that good stuff. So check that out. Visit 30screamsorless.com for all previous episodes and transcripts to go with those episodes. Also, check out beardoctane.com for their whole line of grooming supplies. And be sure to use the code 30screams10 at checkout for 10% off your order. And if there's anything you want us to review, send an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com or hit us up on social media. Use hashtag 30screamsorless. And also, we have some awesome merch for sale on our website, so definitely check that out. If you go to our website, at the very top, there's a shop link. Click that link, and you'll see all sorts of shirts, hats, mugs, things like that. If you buy it, it helps going towards our hosting costs. All right, everyone. I'm Steve.
I'm Corey.
And thanks for listening to 30 Screams or Less. And don't forget to drink your beans.